morning, there's several things that I want to cover dealing with the title of the series we've been in is Revealing the Kingdom. I told you this takes so long to do, and we never finish it. And really, there's so much more to still study. But I want to talk about the kingdom. And as a reminder, maybe go back on some of the things I've been talking about on how important this is and how serious this matter is. And so I left off talking about the gospel hope, the hope. And the gospel, again, is the gospel of the kingdom. Now, when you hear the term kingdom, what do you think about as a person? As a person, when somebody talks about a kingdom, what do you think about? Do you give it any thought? Or what does the Bible teach about a kingdom? Well, we're familiar with stories, movies, history. There were different kingdoms. And in a kingdom, it's different than in a democracy, right? It's called a democracy, but really we were designed to be a republic. And that's far-fetched, right? Somewhere in yesteryears. But in a democracy, you know, as we know it, there's different branches on who says what and how they get what they want. But in a kingdom, it's different, right? In a kingdom, there's a what? There's a king. Now, in our history, every time that we've seen that, it's not turned out so well because the king becomes a dictator. And whoever's in his family or whatever, they do very well, but the rest don't do so well. And so, naturally, because of that, people would tend to steer from any talk about the kingdom. And that's what the church has done. Yet, the scripture teaches about a kingdom. It's a familiar passage that Jesus, what was that you had on? I just licked my lips and I was like, that's distracting. It was right there. I mean, anyway. I know I didn't put anything on. Is it there? Well, good. Anyway, I'm over it now. Okay. Back to the kingdom. Is everybody okay today? How many happy? Amen. Hold on to it. So in the kingdom, we have a familiar passage where he tells the disciples how to pray. It's because they asked him. He said, well, when we pray, because he's talking about the Father, when we pray, how do we pray? What should we do? So there's this familiar passage that a lot of people, even that doesn't go to church, is familiar with, and it's the Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How many of you have ever heard that? Let me see your hand if you're in here and you've heard that before. Whether you're a church goer or not, have you heard that Our Father prayer? All right. So we're familiar with that. So he goes on and says this, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So when we're talking about God in heaven, he's known as our what? As our Father. Think about that. Our Father is in heaven. And then we hallow his name, meaning the name that we recognize him as, there is no other. To us, he has the highest name, and the scripture teaches about his name, that he has a name. He said, you'll know me by this name. And yet, for many years, people could be in and around church and never know that name. And so when we started teaching on along those lines, some people heard it for the first time in their life. Because it was wrongfully inserted in the King James Bible as Jehovah. Somebody said, well, why can't you say Jehovah? Because there's no J sound in God's alphabetic giving of the of words. And words mean things. Letters mean things. And every letter is assigned a number. And that's all significant because that's how prophetic God was to the very letter of everything he shared. That's why he says not a dot nor a tittle shall in no way be taken away, because you'll change its meaning. So it was wrongfully inserted. It would, and we don't know exactly how that pronunciation would be, but most of the scholars today have revised that, and they've come up with the term Yahweh because of the Y in it. Yahweh, not J. So that's why we continue looking the scripture. So we say, and his name is set apart. His name is hallowed. It's to be recognized. That's why, and how many's ever heard this term? Hallelujah. So if we say it slow, hallelujah. Yahweh. It's inserted in there. So you're giving praise to him. Giving praise to Yah. Very important. And we see that throughout scripture. So, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom. Whose kingdom? God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Think about that. Thy kingdom come. So, the ones who are praying, where are they? They're here, right here. Different location. But they're in Israel. We know it as Israel, but they're there in that particular place where Jesus was teaching in this prayer. And he says, thy kingdom come. Where? Well, some would say come to be made real in the hearts of the people. Because it's made real in your heart. But really, technically, the kingdom is not really going to come here. Now, this is a more... this is more how they teach it in modern church today. But it's going to be where? Where the kingdom's going to be? They believe it'll be in heaven. But that's not what it teaches. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and it gives us another indicator word, on earth as it is in heaven. You don't need the kingdom to come to heaven. It's already a kingdom in heaven. He sits on the throne, and there's only one who sits beside him on his throne, and that's Yeshua HaMashiach. It's the only one that paid the price in order to sit there. The only one who has immortality that was given to him by what he did faithfully. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. How many here, if I could tell you how you could live forever, how many would like to know that? Amen. Who would like to know how to live forever? Amen. Now, that doesn't mean you won't die. But you can obtain eternal life. Now, you obtain eternal life. Who would want to live forever in the world as we know it now? Why would you want to curse yourself with living in a society that continually gets worse year by year? I wouldn't want to do that. But what if you can live forever in a perfect society? Perfect. No death, no sickness, no murders, none of that. Can you imagine that? You can live forever in a perfect, perfect world. Wouldn't that be appealing? Well, let me tell you, there's only one way for that to happen. One way. And that's for us to embrace what he tells us about who we are. We just got finished teaching on the nature of man. The nature of man. And that's very important to know that teaching. Because every person in here, you can die. I can die. How many know that that's been proven over and over? That people can die. After death, what is the next thing happens? The next conscious thing for the person after that is judgment. Remember that. Because he said you die, and then after that, judgment. Well, we take that to mean only bad, but not for the believer. That's why when Christ returns, he brings the reward with him. Because to die in Christ means you're going to gain a reward. When you die in Christ, he says the dead in Christ will do what? They will raise first. When you see his face, that's a reward. That's a good indicator you've done something right. Those who are alive and remain will be changed. There's a reward. The reward is, when he comes with the reward, he's going to reward the faithful with immortality. Now, why would you have to live forever on earth if there are not going to be significant changes? That wouldn't be a good reward for him to give you immortality to live on this earth and there not be any changes. But there will be changes because the King of Glory is going to take his position in Jerusalem on the seat of David, the throne of David, and he will rule and reign. The scripture says he'll reign. It gives us a time period. We have indications of the first time period. It's going to be for a millennium, which is 1,000 years. How many here has ever lived 1,000 years? You get my point? We don't even know what living 1,000 years could be like. At best, if we get everything go our way, and you get 100 years, you've done very, very, very well. Like you in a very low percentile if you get to 100. But the majority of people die before they reach 100. Most people die before they reach 100. How many know some people in your life that they died before they reached 100? It's hard to count how many that you might even know who reached 100. Remember that. So, is there a big difference between 100, if y'all get it, and 1,000? How old is the United States of America? Who wants to take a shot at it? About, you don't have to be exact. About how old? All right. How much has happened in that amount of time as far as development and technology from the first time people stepped on this land to now? You think maybe a lot of stuff happened? Can you imagine what would have happened in 1,000 years? Think about it. See, we get used to living in a very small part of life. And we have no energy to even think outside of that. That's why you get frustrated and aggravated, and life is not so good to you. When you're a believer, you think outside of that. We're not here so we can be better people for tomorrow. We're here to be better for the future. And that future is to have a king who sits on the throne, who has love, so much love, that very king that sits on the throne, that's the one who died for you. We all might have our favorite party. We all might have our favorite president. But not one of them died for you. But he died for us. He gave his life so we can have a better life. Isn't that amazing? Because what was awarded to the human when it was designed by God was to spend forever with the Creator. He took dust from the ground and he formed man. And then he breathed. He took the life source, the life breath. The Ruach HaKodesh is the Holy Spirit that we get to have with us today. But the Ruach of God, the breath of God, breathed and man animated. Came a living being, a human being, or a living soul. And that living soul was designed by God to live forever. Because of sin, that was ripped away. And the only way we can get it back is through his only son. That's it. So when I talk about the hope of the kingdom, this is not just people go to church because they want to feel better about themselves. You know, you can feel better if you made more money. You can feel better if you wasn't sick. And you can get real happy with a person. A person can be real happy if they have no sickness and money. You can be pretty happy in this world. You really can. You have no bills. Everything's going good. Your children are healthy. You can be pretty happy. But that's not eternal life. That's not why you come to church. That's not why you say, I want to have this relationship with the Lord. You do it to gain the prize. The ultimate prize is what we should be hungry for is to spend eternity with Him. Think about that. Eternity with Him. Forever and ever. How many know forever is a long time? To spend that apart from Him is also a long time. Because there's no hope. It's done. So the hope of the kingdom, or the gospel hope, is that we teach the kingdom message. That we tell people about how important this is. So I'm going to go over some stuff today. And from time to time, as the scripture warrants it, I'm going to talk to you how personally you can let this affect your life. Because you ultimately going to decide what you do. You're ultimately going to be the decision maker. He offers Himself, but you ultimately got to make the choice. You got to decide what path you want to travel down. What you want to do as a person. You got to decide if that's what you want to do in your life. Is that what legacy you want to leave? You know, we have our fathers. What message do I want to send to my children? Do I want them to look at my life and doubt if I was ever serious with God or not? That's up to you. Nobody can decide that for you. But let me tell you what we do in life. We put way too much weight on a very small part of our life. And we don't put near enough on dealing with the rest of it. Remember the rope I use? Remember that? I had Brother Josh run up and got it one time, and it's almost a moment right there. I pull that rope out, and it's got this much tape on the end. How many's ever seen that before? How many dealt with ropes on a boat and all that? Long ropes. Tape the end and look at that part. You know what that is? That represents your life. And you can put your finger wherever you think you're on that life. Some people, up in age, they're at the end of the tape. Some may be in the middle. You can go in and say, I was born here, and I got married here, and I went to school here, and I have my children here, and now I'm this age, I'm right here. But the tape ends. But the rest of the rope, that's eternity. And we don't hardly do anything about the rest of that. We spend all our energy dealing with about that much of life. When's the last time you really sat down and really thought about it? You know why we don't do it? We're too busy trying to impress other people about what we have and don't have. And we get caught up in the haves and not haves. And we think people really, we count somehow because people think we're okay. That don't count. What counts is what you do when nobody's around. When you're by yourself, it's your own personal relationship with God. Because just remember this, without the Creator, where are we? The scripture says this, can the one who formed us and put us together, how can the vessel say to the one who formed you, I have no need of you? That wouldn't even make sense. There's no vessel outside the one who created it. Somebody created the vessel. And so we have to think about those things because they're valuable to us. So I'm going to take you through some of these verses. We'll see how far we can get. And I want you to think about this hope that we have. And I covered a couple of these, but it's been so long with us doing our feast days that I'm backing up just a few frames, and we're going to go back through it again. So let's look at it and take our time through this. The loss of the kingdom of Elohim from the Christian gospel stems from the loss of the biblical view about the future, which forms so vital a part of the original Christianity. For centuries, churchgoers have been persuaded that the ultimate goal of their commitment to Christ is to go to heaven. That is the ultimate goal. How many's ever heard that or believes that even now? Think about that. A person dies, they go where? They go to heaven. That's what it is. And we can really feel good about that. We can feel good about it because it's, you know, I can make some sense if I know that the person I love is in heaven. Now, when you ask somebody, the same person, you ask them, what is heaven? You explain to me, what are they doing? They'll look at you and go, well, I don't know. Yeah, but you accepted that. Somebody told you, and you accepted that, and you don't even know what they're doing. All I know, it's good. They're good. Don't you want to know more than that? All I know, they're good. What are they doing? And what are you going to do forever in heaven? What are you going to do? What you think you're going to be doing forever in heaven? And so this is what happens. We get trapped. We get trapped in something that sounds good. It appeals to me. And we've all been there. We've all accepted this type of thinking. And we miss the whole point that we're going to have an incredible God who's going to come and take back what he made. What do you think this world that we live in, what do you think it'll be like when God himself becomes the light of the world? What do you think it's going to be like? No pain, no sorrow, no sickness, no death. Death will be the last enemy to be put down. What do you think it would be like? Do you think maybe it would be a place that you would like to be in? How many think that would be a place that you would like to be in? When God himself, who would like to have a sit down with Yeshua HaMashiach and talk to him about the days that he came and he laid his life down? What about the ancients of old, Abraham? Hey, how was it when the Lord told you, take your son, your only son, Isaac, to the place I tell you, and give him to me? What was going through your mind? What was you thinking? What kind of relationship you had that you would even have the knife in the air and on a downward motion and the angel of the Lord stop you? How'd you get there? Wouldn't you want to know those things? I can tell you, it'd be incredible to be in that atmosphere, in that arena. But the sad thing is, not everybody goes. And I'm doing everything I can to make sure I'm one of the people that go. Do you want to be one that goes? Because the opposite of what I'm telling you is destruction. That's the opposite. It's not like an equal place, but it's like a more of an evil place, and it's where all the bad go. The ultimate end of the opposite is destruction. You will be destroyed. You know what that means, to be destroyed? You look it up and study it out. You know what it means to be destroyed? It means to get to a place where you didn't even exist, where you ceased to exist. Is that what your plan is for your life? Do you plan that for your life? Do you plan that for your children, your wife, your husband? Is that the plan you have, where they cease to exist? Because that's the plan the devil has for everybody. He wants to make sure that he comes and he seeks to kill, to steal. See, that's the process in between, but ultimately to destroy. It literally means to grind up like powder and to blow it away. To grind it like powder and blow it away. Isn't that something? So why would you even want to befriend somebody who has nothing but evil thoughts towards you continually? Continually his thoughts are evil towards you. Yet God, his thoughts towards you is this: I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord. It's not to hurt you, but it's a future. Anybody want something good to hear about your future? It's a hope. It's an expected end. That's what God says. That's my plan for you. The devil says, I come to kill you, to steal from you, and destroy you. No future. Christ says this: I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You notice that? That don't sound like dictation to me. He's not trying to be a dictator. He's trying to include you in the great plan of God, including us. So why would, you know, I'm a good person. I try to help people. Why wouldn't I be included? Because good doesn't impress God. They came to Jesus and said, "Good master." He said, "Good master, why call me good? There's only one good, and that's God." This is what Yeshua said. Yet we're going around thinking that we can kind of take that title, "I'm good." You know, you can be good if you measure yourself up to somebody who's not as good. But when you don't measure yourself to somebody who's low in the lower class and you measure yourself up to Yeshua HaMashiach and measure yourself up to God, we realize we need help. We all need help. And he says, "I'm going to help you." And help is not that we somehow turn our lives over to the Lord and everything goes perfect. But he teaches us the principles of the kingdom. He teaches us that we got to think with a kingdom mind now. That this is not what we're really after. Not in this life. This age is going to end. What's going to be the indication that this age ends? The trumpet will sound. The Bible calls it the last trumpet. When it sounds, this age ends and we start a new age. The new age is a kingdom age where Yeshua will be on the throne and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. Understand what he'll do. Rule and reign. What are you going to rule? My prayer is that I'm a part of that. That's the hope. That's what I'm, you know, if you want to know why I do what I do, why I come to church, why I want to be faithful to God, because that's what I'm seeking. I'm seeking to be in that kingdom. I want to make sure that I reach that place. There's no automatic. Remember that. Everybody dies. How many know somebody who's died before? So we always think, in this bad teaching, we think it's automatic. They just automatically go somewhere. Most of them go, not like 99.9% go to heaven, right? Very little percent. I've never been in a service where anybody said, "Yep, he went straight down." Nobody's going to say that. That would be like, you'd be, man, don't say that, because it's not, you're not feeling for the family who lost. Right? You're not feeling. You got to be more sympathetic. Well, think about it. Ask yourself this question. Do you really believe that every person who's ever died is just guaranteed eternal life with God in heaven? You think that it just kind of comes that way? Because if that's the case, and that's what we're going with, we might as well close down. Because who needs to, well, we just eat, drink, be merry? Because you're guaranteed. But he tells us you're not. He tells us. That's the warning. That's why he comes and he gives the message. He says, you're not guaranteed. There's no guarantee because we have sinned and fell short of God's glory. What covered Adam before he had to cover himself? The glory. Remember that. God's glory covered him before he covered himself. Once you sin, the glory's removed. Then you're naked, and you even see your own nakedness. Do you understand that? You don't never want the glory removed. Well, let me just tell you, when we're born, you're not born with the glory. You're born, the Bible says, we're born into sin because of one man. He sinned, and death came and was passed on to every person because it was never intended for you to die, ever. Why would God create the human race to die? Doesn't make sense. You were never created to die. Because of sin, death came, and it was passed on to every person. But thanks be to God, the first Adam failed. That's why he talks about a second Adam. And he came, And what he accomplished is passed on to every man who will accept him as their teacher, their rabbi, the one who is speaking into their life. Because you have to accept it. It's not pushed on you. You accept it. Whosoever will. Who wills. Not my will, but your will, Lord. Who comes to that point in their life? If you don't come to that point in your life, it's going to be tough for you. It's going to be very difficult. And so, for centuries, churchgoers have been persuaded that the ultimate goal for commitment to Christ is to go to heaven when they die. This notion is fundamentally unbiblical. And it's wrong. It undermines the need for the coming of the kingdom of Elohim on earth at the return of Jesus, or Yeshua. In the New Testament, hope, the second, or the trial of Christian virtue, is what? Faith, hope, and love. Right? Faith, hope, and love is directed toward the glorious messianic future. What's the one that we must hold dear to? They all, we need them all, but what's the greater? Love. Remember that. Is it a love you know? It's only a love experienced. It's not a love you know. It's a love you experienced. That love, that God, for Elohim so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish. Can you imagine, you know, you're going shopping and who wants to get in the should not perish line? You don't want to get in the line and say, this line, everybody dies and they perish. Cease to exist. I ain't getting in that line. I want this line. What does it say? Oh, this line should not perish. I'm getting in that line. Right? Shouldn't it be that simple? Yet, that's the reality. And people still in the line over here. Some people just wandering around. Ain't in no line. That's crazy. Can you remember being in no line? Can you remember being in a line that you're going to perish? Lined up. You ever been in a line? My word. I thought Disney was over for me. My wife said, well, we're going to go meet Hannah and them, right? We're going to go out. Well, I'm out of sad dad. So, yeah. About to correct myself because she'll correct me. Put stuff all over me and all that stuff. Anyway. So, I told her, I said, I don't ever have to go. That place, they can have it. I went there when they were little. And I was like, who wants them? That? So, anyway, you're older. They're older. They can go if they want. So, anyway, we go to surprise them. Still the same line. All right? And you're sitting in line. So they have this new thing. It's supposed to be new. And they tell us, they looked online, and it's supposed to be a new ride, and we sitting there. Like, and I'm looking around, and we're going this way, and then they turn you, and you go this way, and you go this way. You know, you never go 5 feet, but you think you're going somewhere. You're not going anywhere. Same people. You see the same people, smell the same people, everything. It's the same thing. So, and then you go back that way, and eventually you get in the same room, a little bitty room, and you finally get to the ride. And it lasts 10 seconds. And I went, did we just do that? 2 hours for 10 seconds. You think about that. No, for real, you think about that. What kind of reward is that? And people will stand in line. That's what they do in life. They'll stand in the line thinking they're getting something. And they're going back and forth just like that. You're moving. And every time you move when you're in line, boy, you go, oh, we're getting closer. It's deception. Because you're just going, and you're moving. So, oh, we're moving. Oh, you catch up. Go 5 feet. Oh, we're moving. You can do that for hours only to get a very small taste of something that don't mean nothing. Think about it. In life, you're in line. What line you in? Are you doing this? Or the whole time you're in line, do you see that what you're standing for is eternity? forever and ever and ever with the Most High. That's the goal. That's the hope. That's what you're standing for. And we have to embrace that and grab hold to it. Hope may be defined as desire of future goods. A desire of future goods. Accompanied by faith in its realization. Faith has regard equally to past, present, and future. While no doubt in Scripture referring mainly to the future, hope is directed only to future. That's our hope. It's coming. Hope. If with no hope, we'll be in trouble. What do you hope for? What's your ultimate goal right now? Why are we here? What's your hope? Because if I'm not here to gain the prize, then I'm here for nothing. It makes no sense. None whatsoever. See, our hope is that one day we gain the prize and we wait our turn. Who was the first? Jesus was the first. He becomes the first fruit among many. Then we come next. At his coming. Has he come back yet? Not yet. How do we know he comes back? Every eye will know it. The Bible says every eye will see him. Because I want to tell you, they won't be shocked. You won't wake up one day and be shocked. When he returns, you're going to know it. That's how terrible it's going to be for a lot of people. They're going to know he came, and they won't be able to do a thing about it. Because you're going to say, well, I changed my mind. It's going to be too late. Right now, we have an opportunity. See, this is what people do. They believe that they go, well, if I decide to go to church, if I do all that, then I got to do this, I got to do that. Listen, you don't have to do anything. You don't do anything people tell you. But you're going to want to do something with your life that pleases him. You're going to want that. And if your want is not there, and you're just doing it because people tell you, that you're not guaranteed anything. Because you can become just yes men to keep the peace. That's not what God has designed. He wants people who seek him, who call upon him, who desire him. And he shows you how to do that. He gives you just what you, this is what you've been doing, this is what you should do. If you do that, then you're guaranteed. Not somebody who say, well, I'll heal. You're not going to find that. He's not trying to heal us up, make us do anything. He just tells you, this is what I'm asking you to do. And if you do this, this is the prize you gain. Obey. And that's all he's asking us to do that. A clear hope was instilled into the minds of the believers when they heard the gospel message about the kingdom. Colossians chapter 1, verse 4 through 7. Since we heard of your faith in Messiah Yeshua, and of the love which ye have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in, where it's laid up? In heaven. The hope is laid up in heaven. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven doesn't have problems. Heaven doesn't have crisis going on in it, but we have it. That's why we pray for that to come. We pray for that to change. This is not, you shouldn't want to depart from this life to go and have a better life. We should pray the better life come to meet us where we are. That's what he says. Pray it come. Come, Lord. And that's the important thing. Whereof ye heard before in the world, word of truth, of the good news. So he's telling us this is the good news. The gospel of the kingdom coming is the good news. Where is it laid up? In heaven. It's ready. We pray it to come. Amen? Who is to come unto you as it is in all the world and bring forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of Elohim in truth. As ye also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Messiah. So all of these things he's sharing with us so we can have that excitement, that joy that brings about the kingdom of God. Now, in Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. So you trust after you do what? Heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, I want to talk about that for a little while because this is important for you to understand. This is what keeps you going. The seal of the Holy Spirit coming on Shavuot, which we just celebrated, was the earnestness or the guarantee or the down payment of our inheritance. Now, we're going to inherit. We haven't yet, but we will. It's a promise to us. That's why people need to make sure you stay in the game. Keep the fight. Fight the good fight of faith because it's worth it. Now, are you going to go through some difficulty? Yes. Are they going to have struggles and troubles? Absolutely. But when the fight quits, be worried. Be really worried when the devil quits fighting you. Because he's not going to fight somebody he won over already. Be really worried when he quits fighting you. But if he's still fighting you, you know what you do? Count it all joy when you come under different types of trials and tribulations, knowing that God's working in you. He's getting you, he's making sure that you stay planted, you stay firm. Because it's worth it in the end. Now, nobody here has come to a complete salvation. See, we are saved, but yet the scripture says we're being saved. If you are saved and being saved, we have to understand what that means. The reason you understand the fact that you are saved, that way you understand that you do have a relationship with the Lord, and you have to maintain that relationship to make sure you let no type of breach in that relationship. Don't let no breach in that relationship. Because if something tragic happens, how many of you know there are accidents that happen? Then in that process of an accident where something happens, you still, because you had this ongoing relationship that you made sure you didn't let no cracks in, then listen, when I'm going to see that situation, I'm going to say, you know what? They were faithful to God up to that point. But you can be serving God and there's no accidents, and all of a sudden some you may lose out. You lose your faith in God. Well, you don't throw it away. You're still being saved. What do you do? That's what I said just not long ago in the message. And it's just the one before this one, before we did Shavuot. You have to have a U-turn in your life. So last night, Brother Troy was doing Torah portion. And in Torah portion, there was a passage in Luke 17. I didn't put it in the slide. I was thought about doing it, but it just been on my heart. In Luke 17, he talks about making sure we're not, Yeshua's talking to the people that are surrounding him. He's encouraging them and telling his disciples, you got to watch out for this and that. But in the 17th chapter, verse 1, he talks about, hey, you got to be careful you're not a stumbling block. Don't be a stumbling block. And he tells them that woe to the one who is a stumbling block. There's a consequence to pay. And he's talking about that. But in that particular passage, he says, but if somebody does sin, how many is familiar with that term? You ought to be, because we've all been there. We've all been in that position. How many have sinned and fell short of the glory? In this room. Let's talk about this room. In this room right here, how many have sinned and fell short of the glory of God? How many you think? Half? 70%? Are y'all helping me? All? Okay. That's good. Okay, we all. From right here up here, all the way in this room, we all sin and come short of the glory of God. So we deserve the penalty of death without resurrection. That's what we deserve because we broke covenant. We messed up. But is that what he plans for you? And that's not his plans. Not his plans, that's not what he wants. But he said, if you do that, here's what you do. He tells the body, he says, you tell the body, repent. So he says in Luke 17, if your brother sins, then you rebuke him. Well, we take our own definition of rebuke personal. Don't take that personal. Let me see your hand if you've ever been rebuked by your spouse. Right? We've been rebuked. What does that mean to be rebuked? That means to be told something that you did wrong. It's pointed out to you. And they say, why would you do that? That didn't make any sense. And then maybe you got your turn. They did something and you remembered when they got you. You remembered that. You said, I'm going to get that. And then you go back and forth. It's called an argument. Right? Anybody ever have that happen since you've been married? Amen. There you go. So we're used to that. But in the church, we're not. In the church, we get our feelings hurt. You know, husbands and wife rebuke each other all the time. They still go in the bedroom together. Get your head going like this. This is adult class. You know what I'm talking about. So it's not like you don't throw it away. But in church, if you get rebuked, we want to throw it away. Can you imagine that? What are you throwing away? Eternal life. Forever with God. It's got to be worth something to you. You got to fight for it. This is serious business. This is critical stuff. So he says, you go to them and you do what? Rebuke them. What does it mean to rebuke? It don't mean yell. Only husbands and wives do that. It just means you point out what's something that's wrong. But here's what you run into. Don't tell me. Look what you do. Right? And so we have a breakdown and nobody says anything. Terrible. Terrible. You know why I get up here and teach? Because I got everything going exactly perfect in my life. That's why I'm up here. I'm not like y'all. My life is smooth, perfect, with no fault. That's why I'm up here. You really believe that? You'd have to be out of your mind to believe that. I'm up here because I've been commissioned by God, in spite of my faults, in spite of my failures, that at this particular moment I would let Him grace me so I can deliver a message. And I'm listening to every word I'm telling you because I want to live by them. Listen, if we pointed out that whoever done wrong can't say nothing, it would be silent. Do you understand that? There would be no voice heard nowhere around the world. Nobody's voice would be heard. But somebody's got to be the speaker. How many has ever had a business? How many have a business? You have a business, you're running that business. And there's been things you've done in your business that you wouldn't do again because when you did them, you didn't realize at the time, but it was a mistake, and you said, I'm not going to do that again. Does that mean that you disqualify for being a business owner? No, it means you're learning. And this is what it happens in serving God. We're learning together. If you think you're the only one that's ever messed up and done something wrong, listen, you have believed a lie from the devil. Lots of people is messed up, but we do have an example. Yeshua HaMashiach, he came and he never messed up. He never sinned. He done everything perfect before God, yet he who knew no sin became sin. That ought to do something for somebody. That ought to tell you something that you got. Look, if everybody else is against you, he's not. If everybody else runs out on you and fails you, he won't fail you. How many in here believe in honor? You know, there's been some people before us. We got a different generation now. I don't know if you noticed, but the generation we have now, there's not a lot of. Listen, there's not a lot of hope in this generation. When you look at the men who grew up and got honor, those who, can you imagine the men who stormed the beaches and gave their life on D-Day? Those guys had honor. They were no cowards in that group. They hit the beach running, knowing that their life would be lost, their friend's life, their people, that their buddies that they grew up with. They hit it hard. That's honor. People gave their life. Today, we get our feelings hurt for nothing. Because there's no more honor in standing up for what's right. To be a real mark of a man who will stand up and be a father and do what's right is he will love the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, with all his strength. That's what he'll do. You can't make enough money to give your children that'll add up to what that equals. If you want to know what kids need today, they need somebody who will grab their hand when they're struggling. They come in crying, they're worried, they're up against it. They need somebody who will grab their hand and say, let me pray with you right now. And you know what? It's a shame that in today's society that men get almost embarrassed to do that. Because we get fed stuff that it's not cool. But it's cool to just do whatever you want? Is that cool? Is that what society loves? We can go out in the world and make a fool of ourselves and that's cool? You ever saw videos that people take? When cell phones came out with cameras, let me tell you, there were no more secrets. There were no secrets. Years ago, you went out with your buddies, you act a fool, and you can only tell stories about it. Today, they put you on YouTube. And then you got to go to work, and they're looking at how you acted. But yet, we're embarrassed when we're talking about our own family, that we're embarrassed to bow our heads and pray. Are you kidding me? Where's the integrity and the stand up and be men who will do what God wants them to do? Where is that? Where did that go? And this is what he teaches us about the kingdom. Men who are kingdom thinkers, who think about the kingdom of God, that's what they'll do. They'll know the fight's worth it. We got to stand up and fight for what's right. It's a song we used to sing when we were kids coming up. We will fight for the right. In confidence we'll go. Here's our heart, here's our hand, as we march against the... We sang that, man. You got into it. To sing, give the truth to the youth, and he will under... Something like this. It's been a long time. Until I pulled that one way. I dug deep in the bag. But nobody marching anymore. We're afraid to do anything. You know, we're going to pray. It's like it's, why can't be something different? Wait, you know, I don't want to push the church on nobody. But it's okay to be spoon-fed by every other thing out there, and you got to accept it. We have to stand up and be counted and be willing to fight for what's right. And once you believe that, you don't let that stand it down for nothing and no reason. I'm telling you, and what'll happen? You'll receive the reward. It's okay. Don't be embarrassed. There's nothing to hold your head down for. The other day I was fishing, and a couple was fishing together, and he'd asked me, he said, you know, I can hear them. You know, when I'm in my boat, and I'm riding, they're in the back, I can hear people. They think what's blowing, and they're behind me, but you can hear good. And the guy says, I think he's spiritual. Maybe so, I don't know. And I'm listening to him. Something's wrong. And I'm like, man, what's wrong? Anyway, he said, something different. Anyway, we get in, and they scheduled to go a second day. They said, can we go a second day? I said, well, if it works out, I'll do it. And they said, can we ask you something? They said, we were just wondering, you know, do you do anything else? I said, yeah, I pastor a church. I told you. They looked at each other. I told you something. The guy says, what is our 10th anniversary? I said, well, let me tell you, 10 is very important. It's a milestone. It really is. And I began to explain to him how the Lord dealt with me with the number 10 and just talked to him about just. And I'm cleaning the fish the whole time. I'm cleaning. We talking. And the guy comes to me and he says, have you ever prayed for the people they go fishing with? I said, well, sure. He said, well, we'd like you to do that, you know, for us. Just remember us. And at the time, what do you want to do? Okay, I will. Right? That's easy. I said, I put the knife down. I said, well, let's pray right now. Let's do it right now. And so we joined hands. And I said, Father, you worked out every detail in this couple's life to make sure that they called this phone number, not for fish, not for exchange of money, but for right now, that their life will never be the same. You're challenging their heart to make a commitment to you, that they would serve you with everything that's in them. And I just prayed for them. When I opened my eyes, both of them were weeping, standing on the dock. And they still, to this day, every now and then, they'll send me something and say, hey, we appreciate that. That's, you can either be light or not, salt or not. That's up to you. But that's what God wants to do. But if you have no hope, what are you going to give somebody? Some people you talk to, they're doing better than you're doing. We wasn't there to match finance statements or match our bank accounts or our ownership of business. We weren't there to do that. I was there to let them know there's hope. There is hope. If you reach out to the Lord, there's hope, and He cares about you. And I'm going to tell you, that make a difference. That's all God's asking from each one of us. We find that I'm so busy trying to do me, I have no time for nobody. You're losing the whole point of the hope of the kingdom. We have to make sure that we maintain that we're sharing with people. But if you have no excitement about what you're doing, what you're trusting in, how can other people be excited about it? If you're not willing to maintain faithfulness to it, you're not going to get faithfulness from nobody. You got to maintain. You got to say, I want to be faithful to it. And that's what will happen every time. And so I hope that you understand that these are valuable principles and that we can't afford to not pursue them. Ephesians 1, 15 and 18 says, wherefore also after I heard of your faith in Master Yeshua and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Isn't that amazing? That the El of our Master, Yeshua Messiah, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What is the hope of His calling? And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Those of you here that are serving God, best of your ability, do you know what is the hope of your calling? Do you know what's the inheritance? What do you gain? What you going to get out of it? Can you imagine? Brother Josh, just share with us the heritage of Jacob. Can you imagine? And what is it? The bottom line, the heritage of Jacob is the land deal that God made. How many of you know God made a land deal? How many own property here? You have property you live on. Comparing it to the rest of the world, it's a small piece. Right? Can I tell you that the land deal that God made with His people is for all of it? You shall inherit the earth. Isn't that something? So if you think this thing's just going to go away, not going to happen. It's going to be restored back to its original in the garden. Can you imagine how the garden must have been? You didn't have to go out and do anything. It just, stuff grew. And it grew big and beautiful. And can I tell you that the fruit didn't rot? I mean, I like bananas, right? And we shop around trying to find good bananas. We buy bananas or get, well, these look good at Sam's. And you ever seen, they tell you to wrap the end with something? You know, the stem, you wrap it and it keeps them fresh. I wrap them and they still rot. And I eat bananas every day and I can't get them all down because it's a whole group of them, so it's tough. And so sometimes we got to throw them away. Because I don't like them after they, when you open them up, and they got a brown spot like somebody punched it. I don't like them. So what I want to do, throw them, give me some good ones. I want good ones. Give them green. Get them green. Tell y'all. Can you imagine in the kingdom, when He created the garden, nothing rotted. The fruit didn't rot. It didn't fall from the tree. It stayed on the tree till you picked it and ate it. And when you picked it and ate it, it was there again. I want that kind of tree. You can sit under it all day long. And the animals didn't eat each other. The lion will lay with the lamb. The children, your children will have no fear of playing around a cobra's den. None of that will be. There'll be no more war. He said they'll take the weapons of war. It'll take 7 years. The Bible says 7 years it'll take to beat the weapons of war into farming equipment. That's a lot of years. 7 years. No more death, no pain, no sorrow. No more tears. It's going to be absolutely incredible. Isn't that amazing? And guess what's going to be present in the kingdom? The tree of life. The tree of life. Because he took that away. That was all destroyed, gone in the flood. In Noah's day, it was destroyed. But it will be back again, the tree of life. And you'll get to, now we can experience how that'll be. How many's ever had a week where it felt like you got a little disconnected with the Lord? You know, I'm not feeling this close. And then you grabbed your Bible, or you went to your room, or you just went on a drive or a walk. And you hit that moment where he was right there. That was your eating from the tree of life. And they're so precious. And we do that from time to time. We get a little distant. What does he do? He gives us that chance. And it's because, let me tell you, not because he came and begged you. You wanted it. You desired it. And he gave you what you desire, that intimacy with him. That's your tree of life. But one day, you'll never get in that other position again. You'll constantly eat and enjoy that fellowship with the Lord. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be clothed in the glory. You're going to be clothed in the glory. How many want to wear the crown? All these things are the promises. And the enemy who does desire nothing more than to rob you from them. Because as much as we talked about today, of how much he wants. This is one of the things that I pray all the time over this church. Over this church, the people of the church. I have a responsibility, and this is one of the things I pray right here that I just read to you. I'm going to read it again. That El of our Master Yeshua Messiah, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That is so important. It is critically important for believers to know that they are invited to rule with Messiah on earth in the coming new order. So how many know that the world speaks of a new order, a new world order? How many has ever heard that term, new world order? That's been going on for lots of years. And let me tell you why that should be significant to us. Because the Antichrist is going to come into play before Christ returns. And he's going to make you think, and lots of people will think, that it's the Messiah. And he sets up a new order. We got every answer for you. You don't have to worry about any food anymore. We're going to take care of you. We're going to have 100% health care. Don't worry about it. When you sneeze, we'll be there to wipe your nose. We got you. When you hear all that, don't believe it. That's what he says in the scripture. Don't believe it. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for it, because what will happen is when you fall for it, you'll side and you'll receive the mark to make your decision. That's your decision. But what are you going to do as the believer? You're going to say, nope, that's not what the word said. That's why we teach the word. So you'll know the difference. There's going to be a new order that's going to come that's going to have all the answers. And I'm telling you, they will have all the answers. And it's going to be very appealing. It's going to look like Messiah. He's come. It's great. Many people will fall for it. But is he going to keep the feast days? Not a chance. Because the moment he has to be told that, he'll desecrate the temple. And Christ will return. You have to hang on to that, because that's when the real is going to get real. So I hope that you're encouraged by this hope. Don't be afraid, nothing to be afraid of, because we have hope. And you won't have to ever be alone. That's why you have Holy Spirit. That's the guarantee. So how many in here guarantee to make it? All of you, if you'll accept Holy Spirit as your guide. You're not alone in this. Nobody said, I won't leave you comfortless. The Comforter will come, which is Holy Spirit. Every one of you, the good thing about Holy Spirit is we dismiss this service. It don't matter if we dismissed or not. Wherever you go, the presence of the Lord is with you. And where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. We could do what God asks us of us, and we can be accomplished in those areas. So I want you to be encouraged in this. Hang on to the hope that you have in the kingdom. It's incredible. Amen? Well, let's stand together. Before we leave today, I just want to say this to everyone here. If in your life you never get a chance to hear what was said today, God will hold you to the stuff you heard today. Whether you received it, doesn't make a difference. He worked out every detail in your life to see to it that you were where you were. It's been ordered by the Lord for you to hear it. Whether you receive it or not, that's totally up to you. God is no guarantee, nor is he obligated to tell you ever again. And that's the point we get to. You reject God, he said, if you reject me, I'll reject you. And so we don't know what that time frame is, nor those limits. All we know, he said that. Who would want to chance that and gamble with life? Nobody should ever want to do that. So I want to encourage you today. Take what you heard today and say, Lord, I'm going to do everything I can to yield to your word to do what you want me to do. That's all you have to do. Humble yourself before the Lord, your God. What did he say in Luke again? He says, rebuke. If they repent, what do? Forgive them. Then he said this, the very next verse, if they sin seven times a day, forgive them if they repent. That's a good God. He talked about a good God. Seven times a day? He said, if they repent, forgive them seven times a day. That's incredible. So I want you to know there's forgiveness. But you can't get forgiveness without it being initiated. And it's initiated through repentance. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. So we're going to pray and ask the Lord. We're going to put our life out before him. And I'm going to ask you, don't just listen to me pray. But make up your own mind where you are right now to say, you know what? I'm going to intentionally make sure I commit myself to the Lord today. Father, I thank you.